And the list goes on, on down the line. And the list goes on.
Okay.
We're back. The 12th inning of our podcast, Jimmy.
Yeah, there you go. Hopefully you won't continue to be distracted when you're doing a
live show. This is the first Reds playoff game in 7 years. Sorry, Jimmy.
Podcast with the guy that pays you. That's awesome. It's awesome.
You know what? I am the human printing press. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I want to start with John Cena. So on the heels of The Rock suggesting in a YouTube video that he might have a match with Roman Reigns, John Cena was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And this is a quote from the interview. He said, "My in-ring career is not as active. It's not over, but it's not as active." And that was the quote. Sounds to me like he might work the Undertaker schedule and just do WrestleMania each year. And so here's my question for you. If that is the plan for him to work the old Undertaker schedule and just do WrestleMania, Mania 37 next year, given the current landscape in WWE, what would you envision as a spot for John Cena?
Roman Reigns. Currently constructed. Heel Roman Reigns. Bad guy Roman Reigns, I think, can be the guy in WWE, is the funny thing.
Oh, I agree. I 100% agree with you. Okay, so let's say that Rock calls up old Vinnie Mac and says, you know what, it's in LA this year, so long as there's no, you know, COVID, I'll do it. So now you got Rock Roman. Then who do you got for John Cena at WrestleMania 37?
Probably Drew.
I was thinking maybe Drew.
Probably Drew, and you have Drew beat him too. You have to let the world know that this generation of wrestlers are better than the previous generation of wrestlers, especially during this generation.
Yeah, and Cena doesn't care. He'll do it.
Yes, you know?
So that could be interesting. Aleister Black, so he changes his music. Was that a CFO thing?
It had something to do with it, but he had a say in it. Somebody actually reached out to me to say, hey, I don't know if you reported this, but they were blaming WWE. It's not all on them. And that's the second time that's happened to me. I had somebody else reach out and say, oh, well, Keith Lee had a hand in that. But then Keith Lee's like, that's out of my control. What I would assume is that they were being told, hey, we're moving away from these CFO themes. Let's pick out a new one. So that way they can say, oh, well, I picked it out. But I do know of wrestlers that said, no, I'm not doing that. And the themes that you're giving us are trash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only does he get new music, which, you know, it's not generic music, but it's more generic than what he had. But not only does he get new music, but he didn't do that casket entrance either. So
it's a reinvention. New gear, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's had the new gear for a bit. So a reinvention, but it's a reinvention where he's turning into just another guy. Don't you think? Like the unique elements that he had as part of his entrance are gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing. The person that reached out to me said, yeah, I probably wouldn't have changed it. It was really great.
Everything about it. Like I know a lot of people at first poked fun that he was like the Undertaker with the entrance, but it was different. And now on Raw, he just ran out there, like just like any other guy. So, all right, we'll see about that. Matt Cardona, so apparently he's a free agent again. His short-term deal with AEW is up. What do you think is next for him? Do you think he ends up in Impact, or what do you think is best for Matt Cardona?
Well, he's killing it with the wrestling figure stuff. I mean, I can tell you, as someone who got into collecting figures because of his show, when they talk about a figure on their podcast, it adjusts the eBay prices of them. Like, that is powerful, and he's doing really, really well in that. I would definitely keep doing that. If I were Ring of Honor, I would reach out to Matt Cardona and I would offer him a real good deal, because who do they have like Matt Cardona?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
When you think of AEW or ROH, maybe Dalton Castle, he's got some personality. Maybe Marty Scurll, is he going to be around? I don't know. Jay Lethal, maybe? But here's the thing, Matt Cardona hasn't wrestled any of those people. I would bring him in, I would make him feel special. And I would remind people why he was that good. Of course, I'm sure he has an in with Impact. If I were Ring of Honor, I would try to. And I've got, by the way, exclusive news on ROH this week on Fightful Select.
Good. Hopefully it's not that Sinclair's wrapping him up.
Nope, it's not. It's quite the opposite.
Okay, good. Rob Van Dam. So at one point he's the top guy in Impact. Now he's gone. Was it just a simple matter of his contract expiring?
Yes. So I reached out to Impact Friday. I heard about this. They got pulled from the roster page. From what I always heard, RVD and Katie Forbes were fine to work with, but every single person that I talked to said they added nothing to the show, and they didn't. They were not good airtime. They were not good.
And he probably got paid decent too, I bet.
And what Katie Forbes does on that show compared to what the rest of that roster does, it's to me, it's an undermining of the roster a lot of times. And she's fine, but when you're trying to take so much of that roster serious and then you integrate her in, it's like there's a spot for comedy wrestlers, but she wasn't quite that either. Mm-hmm. And like I said, everybody I talked to in Impact said that they were great to work with and the door's open and there's no bad blood or anything like that. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that they it was just amicable. They split. I like that. I think it says a lot about RVD as a businessman. Mm-hmm. He's not burning his bridges, and Impact isn't either. That says a lot about this regime right now.
Now, I haven't been able to check out Impact because we don't get access and I don't get the Fight Network. How's Impact doing? Like, you know,
covered.
Huh?
I got you covered. They send me links.
Oh, they do.
They send me screeners. Yeah, they're very good about that.
Okay, so how are they doing? Like, obviously, I know about Eric Young there, and I know about Heath and all that. But how are they doing? Rules.
They're doing fine. I mean, nobody's watching the show because nobody can get the show.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I mean, you've got to keep up with them on YouTube and social media, pretty much, and that sucks. Because their roster's real good,
mm-hmm.
and they got a good Bound for Glory show coming up next month. But Eric Young, Rich Swann, sign me up. I was ready for that to be the Bound for Glory main event the second that they did their Slammiversary angle. And that's two guys that were returning that night. They had no recent build. Mm-hmm. So I'm really liking that. I love the women's division. I think that they have the best individual women's division in North America. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, WWE. Well, they got Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and UK. They're split into four. I think Impact's is the best. It's really great.
Oh, for like one roster, you mean?
Yeah.
I got it. Okay. Angel Garza, is he all right?
I haven't heard. They were getting an MRI done Monday, I think, but I haven't heard the results of that MRI.
Okay. He sure seemed like he got hurt there. And then the other one, Jeff Hardy. I mean, that was a hell of a ladder match. 43 years old when he fell onto the open ladder backwards, and then and then doing the Swanton. We'd seen him do it before when he does it at ringside, but I can't recall seeing him at 43. Dude, he was doing it 10 years ago.
Yep.
So how was he? And the ear, even though nothing got hurt really, but just the fact they did that spot. So how did he come out of that match? Like did you hear anything?
Like, here's the crazy thing. Like, I'm thinking of him doing the spot at Bound for Glory 05 when he jumped off the set and,
yes,
like, through Abyss. Back then, in my head, I was, like, 19, 20 when that happened. I was, like, thinking of the last 6 years of Jeff Hardy's career, and I'm like, oh, my God, how is he still doing that at 28 years old?
Yeah.
Back then, because I was thinking about miles in the ring. So I don't want to – I'm not insulting Jeff Hardy here, but there's a lot of times – like, do you know who Jeff Tremaine is?
No.
He was the guy who helped direct Jackass.
Okay.
And, like, people will be like, oh, are those guys getting too old? And he's like, too old for what? To fall down? Like, we can do a movie whenever we want. I think Jeff Hardy's always going to have his fastball. I think he's always going to have that swanton at the very least. Until he just doesn't anymore.
He's really going to hurt himself.
Blows out and his career's over.
Yeah.
He's going to hurt himself. That was an innovative, creative, special ladder match, and I loved it. They had a big man ladder match for the majority of that. They were doing power moves and stuff, and I thought that was a great pivot.
I wish they had a live crowd for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they really tore it up. I mean, even Sammy, there was a spot where Sammy, I can't recall exactly what happened. I think he was thrown into a ladder in the corner. And just the way he bounced off of it, like he bounced off and his legs kicked up over his head. And like I thought all three of them worked really hard. I mean, AJ Styles is always great. But yeah, I thought it was a really, really good match. But Hardy watching that. I recall in WWE years ago, and Kurt Angle might have been the opponent. It was years ago. It was a cage match, and he did a swanton off the top of the cage, and then Angle or whoever the opponent was moved, and he took the bump.
Yeah.
And even then, and he was in his mid-20s, And I was like, are you crazy? You know?
Some of those things I look at, you know, there's the conventional way of bumping. When I started to train wrestling, there was one quote from Ric Flair that stood out to me, and I was able to take that through like any match I did. When they say, he was asked one time, oh, can you take an F5? And he looked at Brock and he said, yep, tell me what bump to take. Face bump, front bump, flip bump. What bump do I take? I'll know how to land. That's all I need to know. That ain't all they need to know, even these days.
No.
They're landing in very awkward positions.
Yep.
And this comes from, please score this run. They held him at third, Jimmy. They held him at third.
If they lose the game, Camillo, we're going to go back and look at this they lose this game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we'll see how that goes. All right.
This comes from a guy who took back body drops on his hip bone for 30 years.
He always fell sideways because of that plane crash. Yeah.
And I'm looking at bumps today, and I'm like, oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah, yeah. All right, last one, Forgotten Son. So what's the latest? Looks like there's going to be somewhat of a comeback.
Yeah, if one of them keep their mouth shut long enough. He's been off the roster sheets. The other two have been on it, but I've been told that they have been speaking with them about contract renewals, as they have with a lot of people. Not renewals, but their main roster contracts that they were never really given when they got brought up. And yeah, I know that Edge had worked with them, but given them some advice. That's something Edge has been doing in his time off. You could do a lot worse than getting some advice from the likes of Edge. So I just feel bad for Cutler and Blake because they're the ones that worked really, really hard for all those years at the Performance Center. Then you got Jackson Ryker, who, from what I understand, was only in that group because they pitched it basically to save his job. And then he comes out and says dumb stuff and gets them taken off TV.
I agree. It's not their fault. I agree.
Yep.
All right. That's all I got for you, man.
Go Reds! We're out. Subscribe to Fightful on YouTube for the latest exclusive podcasts, interviews, and news across boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling.